This week in your parents' basement, we are playing a game that is literally torn from the true life story of one of our co-hosts. We're playing Todd's Adventures in Slime World, developed by Epix in 1990 for the Atari Lynx, and by Microworld in 1992 for the Sega Genesis, and published, both times, by Atari. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is a co-host that has a full collection of slime gems. It's Huell Hauser.
Try not to get slimed, and keep those aliens from getting stuck on your face.
Good advice in real life as well. And our other co-host, he's made it through all six adventures in the slime world to be here today. It's Todd Brisket.
You know, they got the color of the slime wrong in this game.
Oh, they did?
I don't see color of slime.
It depends on what kind of slime you're looking for there, Todd. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord. You can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. Friend of the show, Dale, recently bought the TurboGrafx-16 Mini. Why don't you buy two of them?
TurboGrafx-32.
Yeah, that's how the Jaguar works. You just stack on machines and stop at the number of bits you want. If you buy four of them, you have a TurboGrafx-64. So,
yeah,
just throwing that out there. This week's game is Todd's Adventures in Slime World. So why are we playing this game? Two weeks ago, when we were covering Trevor McFur in the Crescent Galaxy, I realized we hadn't played an Atari Lynx game. The nifty little handheld was on our coverage list because it turns 30 years old on September 1st. In scanning the list of best games for the system, this one immediately caught my eye because it stars Todd. This is a platform game where you're exploring a couple different slime worlds, using a water cannon to blow up enemies and collecting gems for points. The big selling point for the Lynx version is that by linking systems, up to 8 people could play the game together.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Todd, what did you think of your gaming namesake?
Well, first of all, do 8 people in the world own Atari Lynxes at any one time?
That is a great question.
You know what? They did. So,
Okay.
The Lynx sold about 3 million. It's a bigger success in Europe, I believe, but it sold a reasonable amount of copies, 3 million.
Well, we all know Europe loves slime, so they must have been ready for this, and they bought Lynxes because of it.
Oh, probably, yeah.
This great launch title.
Yeah. Now, is the plural of Lynx Lynxes? Lynxes?
Lynxes? Linknai.
Links.
Oh, maybe
it might be links. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Never heard of this game. Oh, wait. No. I wanted to say happy birthday, Atari Lynx. Wow.
Oh, wow.
30
yeah.
years. Quite an accomplishment.
It looks great.
You were created 30 years ago, and you're still something that was created. All right.
A thing that people owned.
A thing
Todd's Adventure
create.
In Slime World for the Atari Lynx and Genesis. And it did come out on a few other systems. I'd never heard of this game until you were looking at that list and you found that game, and then that is why we played it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say
it's all takes these days.
Well,
I did not.
it was ranked as one of the top 10 Atari Lynx games. It was
good.
You know what? I believe it. I believe it.
I feel bad about the other 9 then.
Yeah. You know, I saw advertisements for the Atari Lynx in the magazines I read growing up, and I was always skeptical. You know, I had a Game Boy at the time, so I know what good handhelds were, and it just did not appeal to me at all. It had like, we're blast processing more than Sega's Game Gear, and we have more colors, but it just all the games that I saw in the magazines did not appeal to me. I don't even remember. Were there any commercials that you guys remember seeing for
the Lynx? Not really,
no. I think I may have seen one or two, but it didn't appeal to me. Like
I remember Game Gear commercials, but definitely not the Lynx.
Yeah.
And then even like looking at pictures of it, like the system itself, like I don't even remember this being a thing. Like this wasn't even something I think I was even aware of.
I just knew it because of the name, because it does fit in with the Atari's kitty cat theme.
Yes, very cat heavy month on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I never had heard of this game, and I also was not able to play the Atari Lynx version of this game this week, even though that's who we are honoring in playing this game. I did play the Genesis version of the game, which, you know, it's, I will say right off the bat, not bad. It's not a bad game. It's just,
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a game that you can play and do things.
I hated playing this. Like, I was like, furious the entire time.
Wow.
It's really? Extremely sluggish. One of my most hated peeves in all of video gaming is having to push a button or push down to pick up an item. Completely unnecessary. So right off the bat, I'm mad. And then everything's green. Like, there's no variety of levels. Like, they're all just like maddening, complex green wastelands. The controls suck. The camera's just constantly shaking. Like, you move a little bit and it shakes up and down or left and right as it tries to follow your character. You can't aim the gun very well. Your gun just like dribbles out water in a very suggestive way.
It really does.
Well, how you shoot your gun is you hold down the B button and it'll shoot out in front of you in an arc going down.
Sure, but not very far.
And then not very far. And to shoot things in the air or below you, you have to tap up the up button to angle your gun up.
Right, you can angle it. But it goes like maybe like one or two Todd lengths in front of you and then just dribbles its way down. It's a dribbler.
It's all thematic within the game. You know, he doesn't have like a
thematic,
one of these modern power.
It's thematic that they made the gun suck. That's part of the theme.
We didn't even mention the time period of this thing. He didn't have a Super Soaker yet. Those were not widely available. This is mid-GAC, pre-Super Soaker.
Oh, you're saying the time period of its release. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant in the game. Because in the game, year 3042. So he better have a friggin' Super Soaker by then.
He's got a spaceship and a water gun.
Yeah. So should we get into the story while I complain about this? Or?
Sure, go.
I don't know. I feel like we're all over the place because I hated this so much. Steve, did you like actually playing it? Let's stick with the gameplay here.
You know, I thought this was not as bad as you were saying. I thought it was just kind of like an average game. I did play it on the Atari Lynx emulator. You know, I thought, this isn't bad. Like, this is, you know, it's a little choppy. But if this was a handheld game, you know, I would have been okay with this. The Genesis version is a like a straight port. Like, the only thing it really adds is in the Lynx version, you have to press a button, as I would say, to bring up the map. Whereas the Genesis version, it's always on. But really, they just like port everything else.
Well, there's a wider view. in the release version. It's kind of zoomed in.
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't know. It's still, you know what it reminded me of, and it's not surprising considering the, you know, most of the Atari Lynx game library. It reminded me of like a PC action platformer from like the 90s, where
yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's not. It's their version of an action platformer, which for whatever reason, they always played a little clunkier and slower than a console, even though, you know, consoles were less powerful then. Like, it just reminded me of, like, a worse version, like Commander Keen or something like that.
I was about to say that. Commander Keen, yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, Commander Keen or your Duke Nukem's, like, side-scrolling
Duke Nukem ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like, super old.
Yeah.
Duke Nukes.
Yeah, like this game, there's some, you know, there's some interesting stuff going on where it's like, oh, it's kind of like a puzzler platformer. But it's just it just does not hold up especially well. So yeah, I played it for about half an hour and was like, nope, done.
Is it a puzzler? It's more of like a maze runner or maze finder kind of
depends game. Depends which mode you're playing.
Oh boy.
It has six different modes you can play.
Well, there are six different levels, kind of, right?
Yeah, but like, so say for the second one, Logic. In that one, you do not have your water gun. Your water gun is broken, so you have to dodge enemies. But there's not any enemies that are like chasing you down. You have to carefully platform and memorize where bad greenies are in the goop that jump out and eat you, which... That's played differently than the first one, where it's just about going through and making your way through to the end, with just blasting slime beasts.
Yeah, and even like I noticed, like I mostly did the first stage. Like, there's a hidden pit you can fall down at various points, and then you gotta find the right spot to jump back up. And you know, the enemies, like the red ones, kill you instantly. So you have to figure out ways past them. Like, you can't just shoot everything because some enemies explode into red gel and that immediately kills you. So
was there even a health meter in this? I couldn't even tell.
Your body was your health meter. You could see you're slowly turning green the more sick you are, and that kind of makes a beeping sound. You have to find pools of water to wash yourself off. Which that is my favorite part of this game is whenever Todd will be covered in green slime, and he goes into that water and starts scrubbing himself down.
So yep. As you get more slimed, you're pretty much getting more hurt.
Yes.
Eventually, you just pop into a green goo.
Oh, I've had that happen for sure. I just couldn't tell from like in between how badly hurt I was until I exploded.
Yeah, it's just your character model just gets steadily more greenish.
That's pretty cool.
Until you die.
I'll give it that.
It's novel. It has little tiny details like that. I mean, it doesn't make it a good game for sure, but
no.
those pieces it's like are the, things that I enjoy.
It's like the armor appearing on Athena. Doesn't make it a great game.
Exactly.
But it's a nice touch.
It's a nice little touch. Nice little touches here and there.
Yeah, right. I don't know. It's at least they tried something. Like, I feel like, I don't know.
It is unique. I'll give it that. Like,
yeah, we play plenty of games that it's just like, oh, well, this is just a beat 'em up with this stuff instead of that stuff.
Or a generic platformer or whatever. A shmup.
Yeah. Yes.
But this is definitely unique. Mm-hmm. Well, I did hate the controls, but one thing I will give it is like the climbing, like the automatic climbing I thought was cool. Where you're not like, you don't have to like jump and hit a button, like you just kinda climb your way up the slime walls as needed as you're navigating this maze here. Mm-hmm. What is this you sent us, Todd?
This is the Japanese cover of
Wow.
They called it this is what I found. I don't know if this is accurate. This was on the Giant Bomb.
It's a CD-ROM game.
It was on the Giant Bob page for Todd's Adventures in Slime World as the TurboGrafx-16, the PC Engine Japanese cover. It's called Slime World. And it has a lady on here that something something's going on. Her surgery went wrong or something.
What? Her surgery?
Zoom in. Zoom in.
Oh, are you talking about
her enhancement looks like it's falling out.
Oh, no. Yeah. What's going on there?
And also on the cover
is smuggling a cantaloupe or something.
Yeah. Ooh. A man in a, what are those called? Like a suit? A suit? And a shirt?
What are those called? Like a sport jacket?
A sport jacket.
A blazer?
A cigar.
A blazer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's probably Todd.
And he has a cigar and a gun in a
he's
holster.
He's cool as hell.
Yeah.
No water gun. He has a, in the Japanese version, he has a real gun.
Oh, I see. Yeah, under his jacket there. Poking out.
And his friend, a robot.
Yeah.
An android man.
Well, the robot friend is like his co-pilot, as I found in the manual. Like, that's canon. That's in the show.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the show. Wow.
I don't remember anything about his robot. At least in the manual. Maybe he didn't make it to the game.
This guy is much cooler than the Dank Nakums looking guy that we got.
Oh, yeah. The complete Duke Nukem ripoff that is Todd of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I shared that with you guys earlier, where it's a picture of Todd, the cool dude, from the cutscenes of this game, which is Duke Nukem with a mustache.
He's got a nice dirt lip there.
Yeah, not like a good mustache, like a pedo mustache too.
Well, it's like the ninth grader mustache.
Yeah, yeah. And also,
flat top.
I could have sworn
ninth grader flat top.
Another image of him makes it look like he has a rat tail in the back.
He's better than Duke Nukem now for sure.
Yeah. This is Duke Nukem Florida edition.
Oh, boy. And it also looks like he's wearing suspenders in this photo.
Maybe. Maybe this is like his pilot belt. What do they call those? Seat belts?
His pilot belt.
Like the pilot
strappy things.
Well, they're bigger than a seat belt. You know, they go over both shoulders. He is flying a spaceship.
Yeah.
It's pilot belt. So yeah, his robot co-pilot is named Morty.
Oh,
from Rick and Morty?
Yes.
Of course. So yeah, it's a lot of style in this game.
So we heard a little bit of the music at the top here, and just another thing I hated while fighting with the controls and the shaking camera was the horrible, horrible sound design. Like, we've had a lot of bad sound design lately.
Well, this is just classic Genesis sound here.
Well, it's that, but it's just like this, the screeching, like grindy, weird sounds that it makes. Like, there's a sound that happens, like, if you try to pick up an item that you already have, it's just this horrendous noise.
Oh, it's so annoying. Yeah. Make sure I use my shield before I pick up another one so I don't have to hear that sound.
I just stopped picking up items. I'm like, I can't do this. It's like 3 seconds long and extremely annoying. It's just so unnecessary.
Yeah, it's bad. This got a full bork from the dog.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't, yeah. It's classic Genesis screeching in this game.
Unsurprising.
Yeah, yeah. The Bork rating was high for this one, like it is for many Genesis games. Yes. Yeah, well, it got one full Bork, and then I immediately muted the sound.
Yeah, it's not something even a human would want to hear.
Yes, correct. But again, this is on the top 10 list for Atari Lynx games. So
that's what I mean. Yeah, it's not a good sign for the old Lynx there.
No.
I guess it's the uniqueness and the effort just made it memorable, but do not recommend this.
Well, it's just, you know, obviously it was a system that struggled a little bit. Just to touch, where is it now, both the game and the system? Todd's Adventures in Slime World did receive a port to the Sega Genesis, as we've been talking about. And while it is regarded by some as a cult classic, it did not get a proper follow-up. The developer of this game, Epix, actually did a ton of games for Atari, Apple, the Commodore, and the PC Engine back in the day. This includes the popular game series California Games and Chips Challenge.
Oh, big fan of Chips Challenge.
I couldn't remember if that was you, Huel, or Todd. I knew one of you had played Chips Challenge a bunch.
It's not even ringing a bell for me, so
wow,
probably not me.
But yeah, probably not you then.
It was an old Windows pack-in.
Yes. They also created the hardware for the Lynx, but they sold it to Atari because of cash flow problems in 1989. And I see a note one of you wrote in. They released a Genesis game in 2015.
Ooh. That's right. I think it was leftover code they had for an unreleased game, but it actually was completed. And I don't know where you can buy it. This is the only thing I could find about it is this page on Moby Games, which is always 100% totally accurate.
I will say that their developer page keeps coming out with new games, it says, but it's mostly their hot IP being reused. Like there have been a bunch of re-releases of their old stuff. This looks like a weird, it says it's a dice game, this game, Cascade.
What?
The game that came out that Todd found in 2015. So.
Cascade?
Yes. The popular dice puzzle game, Cascade, originated on the planet Cascadia, and is on this planet where the most intense tournaments take place. Creatures from all over the galaxy travel to Cascadia in hopes of joining the ranks of the greats. Thankfully, Cascadia is a friendly game in which most players support one another and share tips. So while not all challengers receive a trophy, they often make new friends in pursuit of one.
Oh, so, that's sweet.
Yeah. The real friends are the ones we make along the way. So
they were inside of us the whole time.
Yeah. I guess the rights holder is still active in one way or another today. But from what I read, they went bankrupt in the early 90s after the Lynx fell. So, speaking of the Lynx, it was actually a nifty little machine featuring full color graphics, despite being released only 2 months after the Game Boy. There were two sticking points to it not being adopted widely. First, it cost about double the price of a Nintendo handheld, $90 versus $180. And secondly, it just didn't have the software support that Nintendo did, as most of the games for the system were ports of Amiga and Atari games. It did worse than the Game Gear, which was released 2 years after, and oddly was not as powerful as the Lynx. So, it was just a matter of, Atari is not pushing out good software by this point. So,
the not Lynx surprising.
Was, yeah. I don't know. I didn't really have that many more notes on this one, just because it was, it tried some things, but I did not especially like it.
Yeah. Well, I played through the first mode once and beat it, and I did not feel like playing that mode again. I tried another mode and immediately died 20 times and could not get past. You had to memorize which platforms to jump on that don't have hidden enemies on them, and I just gave up. Like, I could not. By that point, I've seen enough green in my life.
Yeah. Like, I skipped around one of the YouTube playthroughs and just saw nothing but green, and I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, this game, it does feel very PC game in the fact that from the very beginning, you can just play, I think it's 6 or 7 different stages.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that part is weird to me. Like, I feel like, oh, why don't you just have us unlock them one by one or something like that? Instead, just everything's all ports open right from the very beginning on this one.
Open wide.
So, fill me up with that slime.
Yes.
So I think I can touch, well, I guess it's more manual talk. Sorry. Well, keep going. Where are we going to go, Steve?
I think I was just going to ask Todd if he had any most best this week.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? We didn't care for this game too much, if at all. But I do have two reasons why Todd's Adventure in Slime World is the most best game of all time. And both of these are for the Sega Genesis. I could not find a single review for the Lynx version that was positive. All right.
Oh, that was the first one. Got it.
First one, I could only find two that were positive for Genesis, or a full five, full fiver. Some were positive.
That's what we want. That's what we want is the full fiver.
Yeah, some were positive, but they didn't go all the way. All right. Here's the first one. It is by SNM Records.
Hmm.
Titled "It's Renovation."
What?
And it is May of 2018, and SNM Records wrote, "Excellent platformer. Not too easy to find a complete at a good price nowadays. So if you find one, grab it. 5 stars.
Okay.
Mm.
Not easy to find a complete.
It's a renovation. The next one, the last one, is by Sean Kuhnick. Kuhnick. And it's titled "Great Childhood Game."
Okay.
In February of 2014, Sean wrote, "I remember playing this for hours at end, getting lost in the slime, finding hidden ways around, being framed out by the monster hidden Venus flytrap creatures if you took a wrong step. Red slime monsters would kill you in a instant. If their red droplets of slime, red droplets of slim touched you. Flying around on jetpacks through the slime caverns. There are a few different missions to Slime World you can play, from easy missions to very challenging missions. To me, this game was way worth playing. 5 stars.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Childhood favorite. Once again, I feel bad for the children that had this as their game. Much like when we covered the Check or less 2 weeks ago.
This is the one where I think back, the parents bought little Timmy and little Susie a new gaming system for Christmas, and let's say Santa brought a little gaming system for Timmy and Susie on Christmas, and they never had a gaming system before. They've only heard their friends talking about them, and they got it. They opened the package. Hey, it's an Atari Lynx. Ooh, wow! It's like a TV in your hands. Whoa! And they pop in Todd's Adventures in Slime World and immediately give up video games for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, similar to when I had my first RPG experience of Quest 64.
Oh, that classic.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Classic episode, if anyone would like to go back to the archives and listen.
Yes.
Probably 3 years ago.
Oh, God. It was probably
as a guess.
64.
It might have been.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh,
we had to choose something special.
What an ask.
Something special for that show. And why would we play something good?
Yeah.
So, we had to honor the system.
Yeah. Well, I have a 1-star Yelp review. In fact, 2. 1-star Yelp reviews, and it is for Todd.
It was. Oh, sorry. I just wanted to say it was episode 64.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
July 18, 2015.
Wow. Yikes. Yeah, in year 2 of the podcast of our Lord.
That was year 1.
That's 2017.
Wait a second.
Hold on. I'm looking.
2016.
Steve, you stop putting the years in here, and it's confusing.
No, I started putting the years in here so that we could tell, looking at the huge list.
But if you scroll up to episode 37, that's the last time we had a year.
No, because I started putting them in and went down, and then, it's taken a long time, so I was like, I'll just do it later.
And then we never do. Yeah, this is so behind
when we look at the middle of the list, we can actually see what year it is.
Hot behind-the-scenes action, guys.
Of, oh, listen.
the giant Google Doc.
All
our crap.
I just apparently never realized we would get past a year.
Great point.
Also on the website, I believe it does have the year for all shows. Like
Look at that thing.
It's in the episode title, I believe.
This is much easier to search.
Anyways, I have 2 1-star Yelp reviews for Todd's Unique Dining, which is the name of the restaurant. Todd's Unique Dining. Todd's Unique Dining. First one is, what a terrible restaurant. Between the awful decor, food that might have been impressive in the 80s, and the sense of strange entitlement from the service staff will make me stay away forever. This weird sports bar dive across the street from a KFC, mind you, was not only dated and uninspired, but dirty. If you are able to get past the slop on your plates, stay out of the restrooms, and probably the kitchen for that matter. The big blonde older waitress was the cherry on top for our evening. She talked down to everyone around her, including us, ordered people around, and seemed pushy and uninterested in the matter at hand. Us. I've never been around such a disrespectful group of staff before, nor will I ever again. Save yourself the time and money on the overpriced food, but if you want a good laugh, pop in for a to-go menu and you'll see what I mean. 1 star.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I don't know if that's unique, really. It just sounds like ornery waitstaff.
Yeah, I can't really find why this is called Todd's Unique. So the other one is from Emily, Emily K, and she writes, food was overpriced, unappetizing, and uneatable. Tried too hard to be cool. Ended up being awful. Drinks were amazing. Would not recommend to anyone. 1 star. It's.
I want to hear more about those drinks.
Mm-hmm. Drinks are amazing, but.
I kind of enjoy it when my food tries really hard to be cool.
Yeah, oh. it's probably like the Todd's Slime World version of a restaurant.
Mm.
Maybe he took all those gems that he got on Slime World and came back to Earth and opened up a restaurant.
Oh. That'd be nice.
That's probably what happened.
I will say this restaurant has a 4 out of 5 overall, though. So maybe these people were just a little too picky and cranky. So, you get fresh baked bread here.
Well, it seems like if you just avoid that one waitress and just order drinks, you might have a good time.
Yes. All right. Well, I imagine that you got a chance to look at the manual for this one because you've mentioned it a couple times already.
Right. So I did. I found the Lynx version because I'd never seen a Lynx manual. So I was like, "Hey, let's see what this is all about." It has a nice little blurb in the beginning about who is Todd. He is a bold and nearly fearless galactic explorer. Mm-hmm. In case you guys didn't figure that out. Nearly fearless. So what happens is he finds this deserted starship, and he finds the captain's logs inside, and it's the logs that lead him to Slime World. And the idea here is there's 6 sets of logs, and he only has like the first bit of each of them because they got blasted by some electromagnetic crap. I don't know. They try to explain that away. So that's why you have the 6 levels in the beginning to choose from. He's like, okay, I've got these 6 choices due to these logs. I know where to go. So that's why like everything's open. Mm-hmm. And I guess they sort of explain that. But the manual is like 90% story. Like the whole thing is they translate all of the journals into here. And that is about 12 pages of the manual out of 17 is the story of him talking to his robot friend and listening back to the journal entries. So while I appreciate that they're giving a lot of backstory here, They don't tell you anything about the game itself. They tell you almost, they don't tell you the controls, like what you do, like the screen layout. Like there's no screenshots, there's no drawings, there's no icons, there's nothing. Like it's all story. So I'm like, this isn't even a manual, it's more like a background book. Mm-hmm. So while I appreciate the effort in giving us some backstory of this really story absent game, it doesn't really do what a manual needs to do, which is tell you how to play the game. So for that reason, I have to give it 2 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Oof. Oh.
They really shot themselves in the foot here.
Not even a button section?
Nothing.
Wow. That's weird.
They don't tell you how to play the damn thing.
Yeah.
Which was weird because it does have confusing controls for whenever you first pop it in and turn it on.
It took me a while to
figure out how to activate my items.
They tell you in the beginning, well, not in the beginning, but as part of how to start the game, that apparently in the easy level, which is labeled easy, that they'll show you the controls on screen.
Do not remember seeing
those.
Which
I found in the Genesis version they did not do. So maybe the Genesis manual tells you how to do it. Because I went on this completely backwards. I read the Lynx manual and then played the Genesis version. But at the same time, just put the controls in the manual. It's not that hard. There's like 4 buttons. Who cares?
Yeah.
Buttons.
4 buttons.
So it's like, well, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. So 2. It's getting 2.
Yeah. I was constantly not impressed with the button layout and the controls in this game. Like, it just felt like they didn't use the buttons for enough. Like,
no.
You have to go this clunky, you have to cycle through the items you've collected instead of just, like, hitting start and selecting them from a menu. Like,
yeah. It's like use a select button. It's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have to push up to activate the item, mm-hmm. while it's selected in the menu.
Yes.
Oh, so Steve, you sent us a picture of the storefront for Todd's Unique Dining, and apparently, oh, yeah. What makes the dining unique is steak and seafood. So they've really opened up our eyes to the culinary arts.
Unique dining is one phrase, so steak seafood must be the other phrase.
Steak seafood, Todd's Unique Dining.
Well, it is located in Nevada, so maybe they're
to
steak and or seafood there.
I'd say, yeah, seafood in Nevada, probably not a good idea, so that's probably kind of unique there. Maybe the food poisoning is the unique part.
Oh, now with botulism. Well, I have a ranking system, it is the Herzog ranking system. This game is coming in at Herzog 3.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Just not much to recommend this one. Like I said, I played it on and off for probably about half an hour this week, and the entire time I was just like, meh, this is okay. Which I don't know, in a ways, like it would have been more enjoyable if it was just like really awful. Like if I had Huel's reaction. But instead I was like, meh, this is just kind of mediocre. Like if I was a youngin and this was the only game I had, yeah, I'd play it. But you know, it still beats Outside, but it's not an essential it's not an essential game or anything. So
that's a great rating system too, is would this make me actually go outside?
Would I put down the control?
As like a 10-year-old, would I be like, oh man, I think I'll just go outside.
Well, it's also skewed because I'm in Texas now. So, you know, it has to be way worse for me to go outside here versus New England.
Mm.
So, well, most times of the year. Todd, did you get a chance to rate this game?
Yeah, I did. I'll give it a rating on the DuckTales scale. The DuckTales scale has two primary factors, primary factor number one, nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have personally for this game? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I plug this back into the Atari Lynx Eye in these times and days we live in? Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this game. Never heard of it before we put it on the agenda after Steve found it. No nostalgia at all. Replayability. I did not get to try in two-player mode. I feel like that would add a little something, but not much. Replayability. Never going to play this game again. Sorry. So those two primary factors being factored in, I will give this game, Todd's Adventure in the Slimes World, a 0.06.
Oh, wow.
I went 0.07.
Wow.
Damn.
I thought you were too high, Huel, but no, you know your Todd.
You know, I do the majority of times I do these calculations beforehand. It takes me about 3 days to complete. Exactly. But this week I was a little bit flexible and I took in some of the feedback that Huel was given and I just did the formula, just slightly tweaked it and it brought it down at that 0.01 points.
Okay. I shot myself in the foot. Yeah,
replayability went down a little bit.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, that's your rating. You stick by it. All right. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to add?
To the people out there, do not play this game. I do recommend that you look at the cover art for the various releases for this game. That is something you should do. But do not play this game.
Mm-hmm. I will note it is only $11 for the Genesis version, according to price charting. So it's cheap at least. And for whatever reason, they do not have Atari Lynx games in their little database. So sorry, I cannot include that. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I can't recommend playing it either. Like, sometimes we say, hey, just watch the YouTube replay or something, but I don't even recommend that unless you have it muted.
Hmm.
So maybe look at it to see how garish and clunky it is, but that's about it.
Hey, all right then. Let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails?
I got an email, and it says, "Dear YPB, I'm sorry. Let me adjust my screen here, zoom in a little bit. Dear YPB, I'm a 70-year-old gamer. In the last year, I have finished BOTWHZZDACO." Lots on CODs, LOS, DQB. Am I the only 70-year-old gamer out there? Holla at ya, boy. And that was from GamingGrandpa@CompuServe.net.
I think I followed the first three or so, but they lost me at like AOZ. What was that? Was that what that was?
ACO.
Uh-huh. Lots. Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Okay, right. Lots on CODs, and that's I'm assuming Call of Duties.
Lots on COD. Oh, like lots of them.
Yeah,
like
maybe
lots
a lot
the
of
acronym?
CODs.
Yeah. Okay.
LOS.
Last of some of us.
Mm-hmm. DQB.
Dragon Quest Buttholes.
But
Builders. Dragon Quest Builders, I'm assuming.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, they have like a Minecraft-y kind of game.
Oh, boy. Oops. Yeah, I think the first two, I think, were Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, that's what I thought as well.
But then they lost me, but now I think one of them's an Assassin's Creed, some Call of Duties.
Mm-hmm.
So are they the only 70-year-old gamer? Yeah, I don't think
that's
so.
What they're... What they're asking, am I the only 70-year-old gamer out there? Holla at your boy.
Well, I'm not going to holla at you, besides responding to you here on the show. But I'm saying no. I think you're rare, but that's an impressive lineup.
You're a dying breed.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Oh, you know what?
No, I don't.
I would
feel
say
bad.
A 70-year-old gamer. Hey, you're the black sheep of the gaming community. Oh. I'm the black sheep of the family.
That one, that drop, it went away for a while,
but now it's back.
It's back.
Now it's back.
It has been a while.
Yeah, Todd, your pun didn't make me feel bad. I was gonna say, you know. When Huell said that he was rare, I was going to say, oh, he's perfect dark. That's what he is. That was arguably as good as your pun.
Pun?
Which is, yeah. So, I don't know. What the hell was this question? It wasn't really a question. It was just him bragging that he's still playing games.
Yeah, he's kind of bragging.
He's 70.
Like, okay, guy.
Yeah.
What are you, an Atari Lynx bragging that you're 30 years old?
Yeah. It's like on Loveline when they would get people calling in about how they were having too much sex. Is my peener going to fall off?
Yeah. My girlfriend always complains about my huge unit.
Yeah, so I don't know. Keep playing your games, old man or woman. Did it specify?
Gaming grandpa, unless he has transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? We're in modern times.
Also, by the way, did you guys know CompuServe still exists?
Yeah, we just got an email from it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
And you can sign up. You can indeed sign up for CompuServe Mail. So, and it's basically, it looks like a cleaner version of Yahoo, which is sad. a sad reflection on Yahoo. But
Yahoo. Yahoo.
Yep.
Yahoo.
Exactly. Popular online games they had back in the day, Mega Wars 3 and Island of Kesmai. So.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyways, Huell, did you get any emails?
Yep. I got an email. And it says, Dear YPB, I really liked last week's episode, even if I wasn't a huge fan of the game. Pippins is a great guest. What I liked the most was the focus on keys. I think keys are an underappreciated item in video games. Think of all the things they can do. They unlock stuff. They lock stuff. The possibilities are endless. I really love a good key. It made me wonder, what's your favorite key in a video game? And that's from johnlock420 at hotmail.com.
Hmm.
Hmm.
John Locke.
A lot of good keys out there.
You know, I'll get this one off our plate before. I know it's none of our choices, but I have to say we don't get the angry emails. The Keyblade, it is a giant key, and it is a blade, and what's his face, Sora, swings it around in Kingdom Hearts. I got it.
Okay.
We got that out of the way. It's not my choice.
You just wanted to acknowledge that it was a key that exists.
Well, that's a game that people not only like, they love it and they obsess about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get the emails out the way. But do you have an actual choice?
I haven't been thinking about it.
Because my big one. Oh,
go ahead,
Steve.
Yeah, my choice is, because we just did Dragon Quest, in pretty much every game after the first one, they just have something called Final Key. And that is the one that opens all doors. So I like Final Key, the best key.
Neat.
Here's what
my prediction that Steve was. Oh, yeah, we should just go to Todd. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you want to predict mine?
I was going to predict Steve's.
Feel like mine would be.
Don't know if I can predict Todd's.
Is there a key in Fallout that I'm forgetting or something?
I was going to say a bobby pin.
Yeah.
That was my prediction for Steve, but go ahead, Todd.
Well, see, no, the bobby pin is the black sheep of the key family. It's not even a proper key. The black sheep of the family. It's something that allows you to bypass using a key.
I mean, there are sometimes keys where you can just actually use the key instead of picking it, so I guess you have a point.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on.
Wow. All right, my choice is going to be from a little-known title, little indie underground title called Legend of the Zelda.
Okay.
The series. And all the boss key is a giant key with a monster head on it.
Mm. That was my exact choice.
Wow.
The boss key of the dungeon. It's always great when you get it. It's a fun time where you're like, hey, now I know business is about to pick up. I got this boss key.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So I have a backup. Oh, good.
Oh, it's about to be on. You know, you're getting to it.
Oh, it's time.
Yeah. This Reddit, of course, has discussed this at one point, and they have three really good answers. One is Legend of Zelda, the Master Key. Then there is Super Mario Brothers 2. You got those big old keys.
Mm. Yeah,
when we go down pipe.
Very good one.
Yep.
Excellent.
Or some know it as Doki Doki Panic.
I think many do.
And then the top response is Don Key Kong. So
one of the greats. Yep. For sure.
Here's another answer. I wouldn't say it's great keys, but they're just iconic, which are the colored key cards, the red, blue, green key cards in Doom.
Mm, oh, yeah. Key cards. Key cards are a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we answered all their key questions right there.
Questions. I had one more to mention because it's such a famous tease is in a game we previously covered, Banjo-Kazooie, that ice key that does nothing. It's that the tease for Banjo-Tooie. Yeah, behind that ice
key. Banjo-Tooie.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Well, I did get a mail this week. Dear YPB boys, it was so great to hear friend of the show Pippins last week with the surprise drop-in by friend of the show Smo. It made me long for other episodes past, with friend of the show Nikki, friend of the show Dale, friend of the show Backzack, friend of the show Hawk. And it got me thinking, what are some of your favorite guest appearances or cameos in video games? Thanks and best wishes, friend of the show Michael Richards.
Okay. So. Not sure he appeared in any games, but...
I think he's just calling himself
friend of the show, which I would say no, sir.
I don't think that happened.
You, you don't bestow that title on yourself, especially
bestow
one not such as yourself.
Not just have a Steve moment,
not on purpose.
Yeah. Well, they're never on purpose.
You had a Mario
bestoweth.
Yes, I thought it was a word like you'd read and never said before.
Yeah,
bestow.
Guest
appearance in a game.
Yeah. Oof. Best guest or cameo.
These are celebrity appearances? Yeah. Cameos? Celebrity cameos?
Are these like other game characters that pop up in other games?
Well, the one that came to my mind, although it might even be too much, he might count as like a main character in this game, is it's old Snakey and Metal Gear Solid 2.
That is not a guest appearance.
All right, that's a little bit much then, I guess.
I mean, it's a swerve where you think you're playing a Solid Snake game, but it turns out 90% of it is that stupid dork Raiden.
Raiden. But then he comes back. He's gone for a while, and then
he comes back.
Right. Comes back.
Man.
But I also remember in Breath of Fire, which is a SNES RPG series, the first game has a little brief appearance by Chun-Li.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
I think the maybe like the Soul Calibur series always has some fun tie-in characters. Like they'll throw in like a Link or a Yoda or something weird as one of the playables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always have one of those, like a Darth Vader or a... Yeah.
Yeah.
Some random character. Oh, Jerry the Witcherman was in one of them, wasn't... Was he not?
Oh, was he? I do not know.
I think
know.
He was in the latest one on the PS.
Jerry. Wow.
On Sony's the PlayStation 4.
Hmm.
Hmm. Hmm.
Yeah. Jerry the Witcherman soon to be in his own series. Which looks god
series.
Looks awful, but
it's
still
called Jerry the Witcherman.
Oh, I mean on is it on Netflix's the television or
oh the
yeah,
TV.
Netflix is
okay.
The TV.
On Netflix. Okay. Netflix is the TV. Yes, okay. He will be in one of those.
Mm.
Also saw Gary 3 is coming to the Switch.
Oh, Nintendo's the Switch.
Nintendo's the Switch, which seems to be the sole purpose of the Switch just seems to be remakes of other games. So
in your hands.
Add another one to the list.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't a Nintendo game, it's a game you can get somewhere else.
Oh, you know what I learned is apparently you can also run emulators on the old Nintendo's the Switch, which means you can play them classic games and take mm-hmm. them with you on the go.
I don't recommend that because that is illegal.
Yes, but
unless you own the cartridge or delete it, the
unless
ROM,
you have unless
within
you have
24 hours.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my answer is going to be a little guy called Cloud Strife in Final Fantasy Tactics for the PlayStation. Sorry, Sony's the PlayStation 1.
Sony's the first PlayStation.
That's right. Sony's the first PlayStation. Yes.
Right. Of course.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Well, Todd, did you get any asks this week?
I feel like we're running long and hot on this one, so let's save this ask for next week.
Ooh. All right, then.
Long and hot.
Both of those things. All right. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to add this week? Sign off.
Just wanted to say to all the people that played this game this week, you're welcome.
Hmm, okay.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for letting us join on your adventures.
All the adventures in Slime World, yeah.
Yeah. So, Huel, how about you?
You survived. I didn't really expect you to, but I'm glad you did.
Well, on that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game.
Is that just the Dreamcast sound?
No, there's like 20 seconds of silence, but I put in a note that Todd could get the head.
Whoop.
Oh, there we go.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural year of the NFL on the Sega Sports Network. I'm Clark Dishman, and for the next 25 weeks, we'll be bringing you all the action, from exhibition all the way to the Super Bowl. As we roll the calendar over to the big 2000, people around the world are raising questions about what the next millennium
Y2K.
Will have in store.
The big
we also 2000. Have some questions about the year 2000 and how exactly it will impact the NFL. Will the champs come back to win yet another Super Bowl? Or will they be dethroned along the way? Will it be an era of offense? Or will the crushing defense of yesteryear return? Will even more records fall? Or will some forever withstand the test of time?
Dan Marino.
These are
right
some
here.
Of the questions we hope to answer along the way. In a game where millions of viewers and thousands of fans watch a battlefield of 100 yards for 60 minutes, where 22 men from two teams fight for the right to one single ball.
Ooh.
Jesus. It's like every possible number.
22 men.
In one country on planet Earth.
They have 10 toes.
Six
per person.
Yeah.
Four arms. Or four limbs.
Catch at the beginning, he goes... 20 follow us for 26 weeks.
I was very confused by that.
I think he's,
where's the other 9 weeks coming from?
I guess like training camp and exhibition.
I guess there's like preseason and the playoffs. That's probably 8 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. Figured that one out.